Third part, question 12, the acquired or empirical knowledge of Christ's soul. Article 1. Whether Christ knew all things by this acquired or empirical knowledge. Nothing imperfect was in Christ's soul. Now this knowledge of his would have been imperfect if he had not known all things by it, since the imperfect is that to which addition may be made. Hence Christ knew all things by this knowledge. Acquired knowledge is held to be in Christ's soul by reason of the active intellect, lest its action, which is to make things actually intelligible, should be wanting to him, even as imprinted or infused knowledge is held to be in Christ's soul for the perfection of the passive intellect. Now, as the passive intellect is that by which all things are in potentiality, so the active intellect is that by which all are in act. And hence, as the soul of Christ knew by infused knowledge all things to which the passive intellect is in any way in potentiality, so by acquired knowledge it knew whatever can be known by the action of the active intellect. First objection. It would seem that Christ did not know everything by this knowledge, for this knowledge is acquired by experience, but Christ did not experience everything, therefore he did not know everything by this knowledge. Reply to the first objection. The knowledge of things may be acquired not merely from experiencing the things themselves, but by experiencing other things, since by virtue of the light of the active intellect, man can go on to understand effects from causes and causes from effects, like from like, contrary from contrary. Therefore Christ, though he did not experience all things, came to the knowledge of all things from what he did experience. Second objection. Man acquires knowledge through the senses, but not all sensible things were subjected to Christ's bodily senses. Therefore Christ did not know everything by this knowledge. Reply to the second objection. Although all sensible things were not subjected to Christ's bodily senses, yet other sensible things were subjected to his senses, and from this he could come to know other things by the most excellent force of his reason, in the manner described in the previous reply. Just as in seeing heavenly bodies he could comprehend their powers and the effects they have upon things here below, which were not subjected to his senses. And for the same reason, from any other things whatsoever, he could come to the knowledge of yet other things. Third objection. The extent of knowledge depends on the things knowable. Therefore, if Christ knew all things by this knowledge, his acquired knowledge would have been equal to his infused and beatific knowledge, which is not fitting. Therefore, Christ did not know all things by this knowledge. Reply to the third objection. By this knowledge, the soul of Christ did not know all things simply, but all such as are knowable by the light of man's active intellect. Hence, by this knowledge, he did not know the essences of separate substances, nor past, present, or future singulars, which nevertheless he did know by infused knowledge. Article 2. Whether Christ advanced in acquired or empirical knowledge. It is written in Luke 2:52, Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace with God and men. And Ambrose says that he advanced in human wisdom. Now human wisdom is that which is acquired in a human manner, that is, by the light of the active intellect. Therefore Christ advanced in this knowledge. There is a twofold advancement in knowledge, one in essence, inasmuch as the habit of knowledge is increased, the other in effect. For example, if someone were, with one and the same habit of knowledge, to prove to someone else some minor truths at first, and afterwards greater and more subtle conclusions. Now in this second way it is plain that Christ advanced in knowledge and grace, even as in age, since as his age increased, he wrought greater deeds, and showed greater knowledge and grace. But as regards the habit of knowledge, it is plain that his habit of infused knowledge did not increase, since from the beginning he had perfect infused knowledge of all things, and still less could his beatific knowledge increase. Therefore, if in the soul of Christ there was no habit of acquired knowledge beyond the habit of infused knowledge, as appears to some, no knowledge in Christ increased in essence, but merely by experience, that is, by comparing the infused intelligible species with phantasms. And in this way some maintain that Christ's knowledge grew in experience, for example by comparing the infused intelligible species with what he received through the senses for the first time. But because it seems unfitting that any natural intelligible action should be wanting to Christ, and because to extract intelligible species from phantasms is a natural action of man's active intellect, it seems becoming to place even this action in Christ. And it follows from this that in the soul of Christ, there was a habit of knowledge which could increase by this abstraction of species, inasmuch as the active intellect, after abstracting the first intelligible species from phantasms, could abstract others and others again. First objection. It would seem that Christ did not advance in this knowledge. For even as Christ knew all things by his beatific and his infused knowledge, so also he did by this acquired knowledge. But he did not advance in those other knowledges, therefore neither in this. reply to the first objection. Both the infused knowledge and the beatific knowledge of Christ's soul were the effects of an agent of infinite power, which could produce the whole at once. And thus in neither knowledge did Christ advance, since from the beginning he had them perfectly. But the acquired knowledge of Christ is caused by his active intellect, which does not produce the whole at once, but successively. And hence by this knowledge Christ did not know everything from the beginning, but step by step and after a time, that is, in his perfect age. And this is plain from what the evangelist says, namely that he increased in knowledge and age together. Second objection. To advance belongs to the imperfect, since the perfect cannot be added to. Now we cannot suppose an imperfect knowledge in Christ. Therefore Christ did not advance in this knowledge. Reply to the second objection. Even this knowledge was always perfect for the time being, although it was not always perfect simply and in comparison to the nature. Hence it could increase. Third objection. St. John Damascene says, "Whoever say that Christ advanced in wisdom and grace, as if receiving additional sensations, do not venerate the union which is an hypostasis. But it is impious not to venerate this union, therefore it is impious to say that his knowledge received increase." Reply to the third objection. This saying of Damascene regards those who say absolutely that addition was made to Christ's knowledge, that is, as regards any knowledge of his, and especially as regards the infused knowledge which is caused in Christ's soul by union with the Word. But it does not regard the increase of knowledge caused by the natural agent. Article 3. Whether Christ learned anything from men. It is written in Psalm 45, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, for a leader and a master to the Gentiles." Now a master is not taught, but teaches. Therefore Christ did not receive any knowledge by the teaching of any man. In every genus, that which is the first mover is not moved according to the same species of movement. Now Christ is established by God as head of the church, yea, of all men, so that not only all might receive grace through him, but that all might receive the doctrine of truth from him. Hence he himself says in John 18:37, "For this was I born, and for this I came into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth." And thus it did not befit his dignity that he should be taught by any man. First objection. It would seem that Christ did learn something from man. For it is written, "They found him in the temple in the midst of the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions." But to ask questions and to reply pertains to a learner. Therefore Christ learned something from man. Reply to the first objection. As Origen says, our Lord asks questions not in order to learn anything, but in order to teach by questioning. For from the same well of knowledge came the question and the wise reply. Hence the Gospel goes on to say that all that heard him were astonished at his wisdom and his answers. Second objection. To acquire knowledge from a man's teaching seems more noble than to acquire it from sensible things, since in the soul of the man who teaches, the intelligible species are in act, but in sensible things, the intelligible species are only in potentiality. Now Christ received empirical knowledge from sensible things, as said above. Much more, therefore, could he receive knowledge by learning from men. Reply to the second objection. Whoever learns from man does not receive knowledge immediately from the intelligible species which are in his mind, but through sensible words, which are signs of intelligible concepts. Now as words formed by a man are signs of his intellectual knowledge, so are creatures formed by God signs of his wisdom. Hence it is written in Sirach that God poured wisdom out upon all his works. Hence, just as it is better to be taught by God than by man, so it is better to receive our knowledge from sensible creatures and not by man's teaching. Third objection. By empirical knowledge, Christ did not know everything from the beginning, but advanced in it, as was said above. But anyone hearing words which mean something may learn something he does not know. Therefore Christ could learn from men something he did not know by this knowledge. Reply to the third objection. Jesus advanced in empirical knowledge as an age, as was stated above. Now as a fitting age is required for a man to acquire knowledge by discovery, so also that he may acquire it by being taught. But our Lord did nothing unbecoming to his age, and hence he did not give ear to hearing the lessons of doctrine until such a time as he was able to have reached that grade of knowledge by way of experience. Hence St. Gregory says, "In the 12th year of his age he deigned to question men on earth, since in the course of reason the word of doctrine is not vouchsafed before the age of perfection."